You're listening to the Journey Podcast. Ready to unlock the secrets behind the age-old practice of manifestation? Find out more in this episode. Hi, I'm Petra Brunbauer, and with decades of experience with sadness, pain, anxiety, and stress, I finally figured out how to leave all that behind. And this podcast shows you how to break free permanently so you can reclaim your sanity and find the self-esteem and energy to go after the life you desire. With real talk about mental health, holistic healing, and the tough journey of coming out the other end, this is the Journey Podcast. Welcome to today's episode. In this engaging conversation, we explore the art of manifestation and its intricate connection to the law of attraction, twin flames, and the alignment of our deepest selves. Together, we embark on a journey into the realm of spiritual awakening, uncovering how these concepts can become powerful tools for enhancing mental health and overall well-being. Our guest, a passionate advocate for understanding the intricate dance of manifestation, shares insightful perspectives on how we can harness these forces for personal transformation. Kurt Johnson is a law of attraction master and a twin flame coach on a mission to reshape lives through a holistic approach. He stands apart from conventional online spiritual figures by steering clear of spiritual bypassing, guiding individuals beyond mere manifestation techniques. He acknowledges that change comes from within and respects each individual's readiness to embark on their unique journey and rediscover their true selves. Kurt offers an unconventional perspective, bridging the gap between science and spirituality. He's on a mission to merge the realms of science and spirituality, drawing from his personal encounters with the unseen. Let's meet Kurt Johnson. Hi, Kurt. It's so great to have you on the podcast today. I've been looking forward to getting to chat with you because the art of manifestation is such an amazing topic for today's episode. I can't wait to dive in. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. And do you want to share a little bit about yourself and what you do and how you came to do what you do today?
Well, the short version of the long story is that I'm one of these people who've had some very, very interesting, I guess what you would call spiritual experiences since I was like five. So I had my first out-of-body experience at that age. I have been visited by physical angels at that age, and they even left me something. They left me a feather. And I had that feather until well into high school. And that's significant because you know how kids, they imagine things and, you know, maybe they made it up. No, I still had the feather. I think my mom might have accidentally threw it away or something when she was cleaning, but I had it. I was a junior in high school. That was the last time I remember seeing the thing. And I've had lots of other interesting experiences like that. And I think that is significant because you can't talk me out of recognizing that there is a higher intelligence. I'm using that word on purpose because what that is throughout the millennia has been subject to many different dogmatic beliefs and whatnot. And interestingly, always had a propensity for science. I've even taught science. So kind of the way things are going in the science community is it's starting to look like the conversation, the current conversation is, yeah, we're living in a participatory universe. We're living in a simulation. And some people might think that sounds ridiculous, but we're talking about top shelf science and top shelf scientists. These people are in charge of large university science departments, major institutions, multiple PhDs, hundreds of scientific peer-reviewed research papers, Nobel Prize laureates, et cetera, et cetera. Those are the people that are saying these things. They're just not telling you that on the mainstream, but there is a very interesting dialogue going on right now amongst physicists, mathematicians, neuroscientists, and it's clear that consciousness is non-local, meaning it's out there somewhere, right? So what we've all been told is consciousness is a product of electrical impulses in your brain, and now they know that that is not true, but they're still teaching it in schools. And when you find out that your physical body is literally a video game controller.
Yeah, I love that.
You could play the video game a little better.
Yeah, that is fantastic. And what a journey you have had at such a young age to be connected to that already. I find that fascinating. It's interesting that you tell that story about the feather. And I don't remember which podcast guest that was. They told me that sometimes when we receive messages from even our loved ones who have passed on, we'll find feathers. And it was interesting that she said that as well. So yeah, what a journey you've had.
Well, angels have wings, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you do now, Kurt? After you've experienced this journey, you taught science, you're interested in all of this. So what do you do now?
So in my 30s, I fell off the bandwagon, you could say, when it comes to spirituality being non-duality, the teachings of non-duality, the teaching that you are consciousness. So spirituality is oft associated with crystals and burning sage and astrology and tarot, and I'm interested in those things too, but those are really metaphysics, which is fine. But for you to derive the full benefit of spiritualism, it really helps if you're clear about what that is. It's remembering who you are beyond the body and beyond the mind. So late in my 30s, I reconnected with somebody from my past. I hadn't spoken to this person for about 13 years. And it turns out that she is a previous life that I have lived, or what you would call a past life. We are simultaneous incarnations of the same soul. The usual explanation that you're going to get off the internet is that the soul splits in two. There really isn't any basis for that other than Plato said something along those lines, but he certainly didn't call it twin flames. And it was just romantic prose. It just sounded cute. And I've kind of been the voice of reason in that community. There's a lot of toxicity in that community. And interestingly, in spite of what we're seeing currently, we all know kind of there's something going on with that. You know, speak no evil, but you know what I'm talking about. Curiously, most of the toxicity is coming from people who are actually good people. And so instead of toxicity, maybe the word desperation is a better way to explain what's going on when you meet this person. It is extremely triggering, but it's really the beginning of a classical spiritual awakening template. So for example, Eckhart Tolle, he didn't meet what we call twin flame, or at least what I am calling twin flame. The internet is going to tell you a lot of different things about what that is. Everybody on, and interestingly, side note, everybody, it doesn't matter who you ask, everybody is going to tell you twin flames are the same soul, right? Everybody tells you that, but then everybody has a different kind of answer about what to do and how that works. But we'll come back to that in a moment. Eckhart Tolle, he did not meet his twin flame, and still he had this forced spiritual awakening. So it starts with something called ego death. Some people call it dark night of the soul. And what's happening is God, your higher self, something said, you're it. It's your turn, buddy. Buckle up. Buckle up, buttercup. And the amount of consciousness, what's happening is your consciousness is increasing drastically. It's like somebody, it's not that they opened the floodgates of the dam, it's that they strapped a bomb to it and blew it open. Your consciousness is exploding, and it does cause your ego, your mind, the personality to be very much disrupted as consciousness is flooding into your system. You're a three-part triune being, body, mind, soul. And so that increase of consciousness is causing you to awaken and to no longer live only through the mind. And Eckhart Tolle had this exact same experience. Well, his was triggered by life circumstances, anxiety. I know lots of other people who've gone through this spiritual awakening process, or I think what you would call a forced spiritual awakening. And it's usually triggered by something else other than a twin flame. So people on the internet, you get into these twin flame communities, and they think that these experiences are specific only to twin flames, and then they create this whole identity out of it. And that kind of defeats the purpose of the awakening, by the way, because you're creating more of an egoic identity. Now it's, I'm a twin flame. And Eckhart Tolle, he talks about this. He says, watch out for the spiritual ego, right? He's always talking about that. Don't make a spiritual identity, because the self, the soul, who you really are beyond the body and the mind, is non-duality. It's consciousness and it's formless. It's not an identity. So this is what happened to me. I met this person. And again, whereas with most people who go through this kind of forced spiritual awakening, the catalyst is life circumstances, a terminal illness, a death of a loved one, something like that. Most people, and I mean almost all. In my case, it was meeting this person who is another incarnation of your soul. And then I started talking about it, and I started using logic and reason and my experiences as a spiritual person to go, wait a minute, I think most of the stuff we see on the internet is like lore. It's mythology, because you get the impression that twin flames is like a really good soulmate. Like, you can't even tell the difference between twin flames and a soulmate. That's what people think it is. It's like, oh, I get it. It's like soulmates only better. Nope. It's not. It's your spiritual awakening. Now, you can actually, this, you'll think this is interesting. This is what really piqued my interest about this. There's things that you can do internally to get this person to stop running from you. You don't even have to talk to them. I've coached over 7,000 twin flame students, and I take them through a certain set of steps, things that they can do internally with their consciousness, with their focus, you know, the kind of thing. You hear about this kind of stuff, like the Center for Noetic Studies. They do studies on the power of prayer, consciousness, things like this. So these kinds of, you know, Joe Dispenza techniques, where basically you're de-externalizing your focus. You're bringing it back to center. You take your focus off the person. Actually, I have them cease all contact with their twin flame, like a complete detox, and the person starts talking to them again. They'll unblock them. If the twin flame had them blocked, they'll unblock them without having to talk to them at all, like no contact. All they're doing is this energetic work. And I started to get pretty excited about this. I'm obviously very passionate about this, because I feel like this is an opportunity for us to learn about reincarnation, the soul, this kind of thing. And again, you know, you could go on the internet and look at any subject that you want to talk about. It could be finance, it could be politics, it could be home repair, car repair, psychology, any topic that you want to talk about, and you're going to get a bunch of well-meaning but misguided information. You're going to get one or two people that are actually malicious, and then you're going to get a little bit of good information. It's the internet. That's just the way it is. And it's no different with this twin flame thing. So the lay person, they get online and they look at twin flame information, and right now they're seeing a couple of bad apples that are being exposed. And then they're seeing a whole bunch of well-meaning but misguided information. And what's really going on is this is just your spiritual awakening. This person is you in another body. And the way that I kind of cracked the code on this, I'm the world's number one twin flame coach. How did you do it, Kurt? I just looked at what do we know about how the soul incarnates instead of guessing, instead of like making stuff up like, oh, well, the soul splits and you're looking for the other half of your soul and you guys are eternal love for each other forever. And then you're going to be reunited with the other half of your soul. And that's usually what you're going to get. And I'm being a little bit facetious, of course, but that is the way it is. And what I'm saying is, wait a minute. Hold on, guys. Whoa, calm down. Everybody calm down. We already know about reincarnation. Why do we have to have a special theory? So there is no time. Albert Einstein, past and future happen simultaneously. And physics has demonstrated that on these higher planes, that is what you would experience. You would experience no time. You would experience all of these events happening simultaneously. Well, guess what? That is the exact same way that spiritual masters have described reincarnation forever. So why can't you just have two? Why isn't it that we just have two incarnations of your soul? It wouldn't be any different than if you got into a time machine, went back in time, and met whoever you used to be in a past life. It's the same thing. Now, when you encounter this person who is the same soul vibration as you, yes, it is extremely disruptive to your ego, and it causes a spiritual awakening. And last, you can definitely tell that's what's going on here. There's other conversations to be had about some of that people use in these twin flame communities. And it's like telephone, right? That game of telephone that your teacher used to play with you. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Something always comes out really wrong at the other end.
Yes, exactly. Like you start off with a story or an explanation, and then people spread that around and it turns into something else. Well, I can tell that somebody must have figured this out and was teaching it to people properly before I came along. I don't think I'm special. I don't think I'm better than anybody else or anything like that. I'm just excited and I'm looking at 2 + 2 = 4 and I'm going, oh my God, this is the answer. Everybody listen, right? I'm just excited about it. I know this is the truth of this because of the lingo that people are using in this community, namely the words separation, union, detaching. Those three words are telling you everything. Twin flames use those words all the time, but they don't know why they're saying these words. They don't know where they came from. Why not just say, we broke up or they rejected me? No, it has to be separation. We're in separation. Or union. Why are we using that word? Why not just say we're together, we're dating, right? Like who does that? Like who uses, have you ever done that?
I have not. I have to admit.
Right. It's weird. And I said, wait a minute, guys, these come out of the Zen traditions. And what these words really are pointing you at are states of consciousness. Separation consciousness, unity consciousness, union, and detaching. Detaching is a principle found in the Zen traditions, transcendentalism, which is what happens when you transcend the separation of mind. And you'll hear all the great spiritual teachers using this terminology, and they've never even heard of twin flames. So how did that terminology end up in the twin flame community? Well, what I think is going on is before the internet, probably before I was even born, somebody figured it out. And they left their fingerprints all over it. So I'm just an archaeologist, if you will. I didn't necessarily come up with this stuff. I just kind of looked at the clues. You know, it's like I'm a detective and I figured this all out. And that's how I've been able to amass such a following, because people come to me who think they met their twin flame and they try this out and it works. And I've had people come to me, Kurt, I've been doing this for 10 years. I've spent $30,000 $30,000 for this to go on and for the pain to continue. I took your program. It was $300 and I feel great. And it's not me. I'm not saying I'm all badass or anything like that. It's the teachings. It's the teachings. That's what I care about. That's what's different about what I am telling people about twin flames. It's where you're starting from. Your starting point is consciousness, the soul, right? Whereas with all the other twin flame information you're going to come across, it's all romance. It's about the other person. And what I'm telling people is, let the person go. Remember who you are. Remember yourself as consciousness. It's not, I got to focus on me, because that's separation. That's the ego. There's a subject-object relationship. No, this is the Zen traditions. This is non-duality. Remember yourself as consciousness. Be aware that you are aware. That's the soul. And when they do those two things, guess what happens? The person comes back and it keeps working. And it's to this day, every time I hear a success story from one of my students, it's so astonishing, because we've been told again and again and again, these things aren't real. There's no such thing as telepathy. There's no such thing as ghosts. There's no God, blah, 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 blah. So that's a very long answer. Thank you for indulging me. But that's where I came from. I'm a code cracker, I guess you could say. I'm looking at this thing. Yes, it's real. No, what the average person is going to see about it isn't quite right. It's the internet. You know, that's what you're going to get. It's fine. I'm not here to put anybody down or anything, but that's the way it is. It's the internet. You're going to get that, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you for telling
here
that
I am.
Story. I love that. So many fascinating things that you're bringing up that are making me think and making me wonder. Now, I'm curious. So does everybody find this twin flame at some point or another? Or is there just some people that do? Because I don't actually know anyone who thinks that have found their twin flame. So is this a very common thing?
Yeah, no, it doesn't appear to be. I've heard hypotheses that everybody's met their twin flame, but the awakening process was not initiated. And I'm thinking, okay, well, what is your mechanism? Like, what initiates? Although you could easily explain that with free will. The soul has complete free will. It can arbitrarily say, okay, it's time. You know, it can do that. And that's been referred to as soul recognition. What we want as a mental position is, well, what's the mechanism? And I don't know if there is one. Now, that's one conversation about your question. The other conversation is, well, maybe how we're looking at what this phenomenon is what is shaping our question. So let's take a step back. Who's to say, if there's no such thing as time, all of the individual incarnations that you have ever lived and ever will live, your higher self on these higher planes, they call it heaven, right? Physicists call it the field, right? The quantum field. That's what they call it. So we know that that's real. From the perspective of your higher self, all of these individual incarnations are happening simultaneously, right? There's no time. There's no such thing as time. That's a fact. There is no time. We seem to experience it down here in the physical world, but even NASA scientists have to deal with the time differential. Space travel, when you send a spacecraft out into space, you can measure the difference between the two clocks. They've measured that. Okay, so anyway, who's to say you don't have four of you roaming around right now? Or what if the human lifespan was 500 years? What if you could live to be 500 years? You know, the book of Genesis apparently says you can do that, right? What if that's true? What if we used to be able to live that long? Well, then you would maybe be able to have a cup of coffee with whoever you were in the 1800s. But the question is, how would you know that? How would you know this person was you without the activation of the spiritual awakening? And that's what makes this very, very different from soulmates is that there is a spiritual awakening triggered by this person up to and including Kundalini activation. You're going to start seeing all kinds of repeating number patterns everywhere. Obsessive thinking for a time takes place over this person, on and on and on. There's the spiritual awakening experience that you have. All of these amazing spiritual gifts emerge. That's a clear indicator that something's up with this person. But without that, how would you know? So you, my friend, you could have already met two people who you used to be or will be in the future. The thing that confuses people about this is they think of reincarnation as linear, right? So I died in 1970, and then I was reincarnated in 1974. That's maybe part of the problem, is we call it reincarnation, right? And then I'm going to die, and then I'll be reincarnated again. And so going in a straight line, well, that's not how time works. Past and future happen simultaneously. Albert Einstein, and again, from these higher planes, that is what's going on. So why can't you hop all around in time from life to life to life? So in your next life, why can't you go back 200 years and reincarnate there? You can. You absolutely can. And even science is saying that those are the laws. Those are the laws of physics. And then you've got, again, spiritual teachers all throughout history explaining reincarnation. And that's what they're going to tell you. Like, when you leave your body, you're in a place that's beyond time. So there's congruency there. And I think there needs to be a study about this. So again, to your question, what really is going on with reincarnation? What is linear is the evolution of consciousness. That everybody agrees on that. Everybody agrees that the whole object of reincarnating a bunch of times is for you to evolve and to grow spiritually. So the evolution of consciousness is a straight line. So with this person who we are calling twin flame, you're essentially looking at somebody who you used to be in the past. You lived that whole entire life. And this is possible because you can bounce all around in time during each incarnation or between each reincarnation. So that's really, again, thank you for indulging me with these rather longish answers.
I love that. But
there's a lot of, I think, confusion about how time works, what's going on here. And so, you know, to your question, yeah, it's possible. It could be that you've met people that you used to be or will be, and you just don't know it yet. And maybe you never will. Maybe your higher self will never say, all right,
you're up.
It's time, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that is fascinating. I think possibly some listeners may have to really rethink how they look at the world or what they were brought up with in regard to time and the soul, how we experience things on this planet, because this might be quite out of left field to think that there is no time, that we can be future and present, past all at the same time. So this is really fascinating. I'm wondering,
it would explain,
yeah,
like remote viewing.
Yeah.
Telepathy, how they can see future events.
Yeah, because that is happening at the same time. So
everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm curious how, as beings that are in a physical body at this place and time at the moment, how does this all affect our mental health? Because you mentioned Eckhart Tolle, who had a lot of anxiety as he was going through this awakening. Is this a common experience that people may feel this discomfort, the mental distress, and these feelings, this uneasiness as they're going through these awakenings or maybe coming up to these awakenings? Are these things that you have observed?
Yeah, anybody's spiritual awakening. Again, most people, their catalyst is, you know, life circumstances. And it is very stressful, to say the least. It really takes you to the end of your rope. But the object is to shake you out of your slumber. And, you know, there's people who have had near-death experiences. Gosh, what is that documentary called? I don't remember. It's a pretty popular one. But there was one gentleman, who had three near-death experiences. And finally, after the third one, he started changing his ways, interestingly enough, because he had one. His first near-death experience, came out of it and was like, oh my God, I've got a lot left to lose, or I've got a lot to lose. I need to get to the business of living life more fully and enjoying connections with people and this kind of thing, and stop smoking and, you know, all of the other bad habits, you know, drinking, whatever he was doing. And he kind of slid back into old habits, had another near-death experience, went through that same cycle. And then after the third one, finally, he was like, okay. So he stopped drinking, he stopped smoking, he started eating better. He started, I think he said he had a lot of anger or something too. He finally dealt with that. And you got to ask, like, why, if his higher self is trying to take him off this earth and then put him back again just to scare him, why not just end it after the first time? I don't know. These are, again, arbitrary actions, which again denotes the free will nature of our universe. There's no super determinism, and that's what everybody wants to believe. And whether science wants to admit that or not, that's kind of what they've been telling us for a couple of hundred years, that everything should be able to be predictable. And now they have gotten to a place where you could say that is true. They proved quantum entanglement. But still, it doesn't sit right for obvious reasons. You can randomly decide to have something completely different for dinner than you did yesterday. So why these things are happening, I believe to be part of our destiny as humans. Maybe an easier way of understanding the answer to your question is things got to get worse before they get better. You know, like, we are living in a very interesting time of change for sure. You could look in the discipline of psychology and read about something called an extinction burst, which is where your bad behavior peaks right before something is about to change. So why are things going the way they are on Earth? Well, probably because they're going to get better soon. And by soon, that could be a couple of hundred years. I mean, it could be, you know, for societal change, that we're just getting into the dark days just now, you know, unfortunately. But the same is true of the individual. We can identify these kinds of patterns. And when you come out of a very jarring spiritual awakening experience like that, the best that you can hope for is to take it by the reins. Don't be the example of the gentleman that I just gave to you a few minutes ago. And this is what I coach my students on. Like, yeah, you can keep going through these cycles, and eventually you'll let old patterns of belief, old behaviors go, or you can be intentional about it. And of course, it's inevitable. The minute you get to that point, you start to see the connection between what you're being and what's going on out there. All of my students, all of them, they all end up in a place where their interest in the law of attraction has been piqued, manifesting. Yeah, because you're a creator. That's what we do, right? As consciousness, you know, the Bible said God created man in his own image and likeness. Also, the Bible said God is the creator. Yeah, well, the same is true of you. So if you change what you're being, you'll change what's out there. I think it was Joe Dispenza. He said, when you reshape your personality, you reshape your personal reality. And that's true. But it doesn't seem to work as well unless you're aware of what the problem is. Well, aware is the key word. So that's the staple of spiritualism, consciousness, awareness. That's who you really are. Who are you beyond the thinking mind and the body? Consciousness. And so this increase of consciousness allows you to look at every belief, every limiting bit of self-talk you have, every bit of shame that you have, whatever it is, and reassess that. But it certainly isn't an easy task at first, when you're thrown into this awakening experience. It's very confusing. Now, I don't want to scare your audience. Most people do not, I think, experience this type of spiritual awakening template, this forced spiritual awakening. If they are curious about it, you could just hop on Google and type in ego death. There's been books written about it. Most people just take up meditation. They take an interest in yoga or something like that, and they derive a benefit from it still. So I don't know why it happens to some people and why it doesn't to others. Perhaps, again, this greater intelligence that we are participating with is what's in charge of that, right? So we are living in a gigantic being called God, and you are made of the stuff of this God. You know, it's the infinite consciousness, and the more conscious you are, the more that it wants to interact with you. It's very playful too, and it has a very good sense of humor, I should add.
It's interesting that you say that. You're not the first person to mention that and to, I think, even said play with the universe or something like that. So very curious that you mentioned that as well. You know, what I've found is that many, many people are very disconnected. They feel ill or ill at ease. They feel mentally distressed for a long time. And then they become more aware, as you said. And as they start changing and becoming more aware, they find that this can almost be a healing experience for them as they're aligning more with who they truly are, what they're supposed to be doing, creating, and what they're finding in this awareness. So the process, although it can be jarring and scary at times, I think it does serve a purpose also of realigning you and bringing that healing to you in these different times that are going on around us. So, yeah.
No, suffering does cause great spiritual growth. Again, our good friend Eckhart Tolle, Rupert Spira, Ram Dass, any of these, you know, you listen to them talk long enough, it's inevitable. They're going to talk about it. They're going to be asked, why? Why do we suffer? What does it seem like? Suffering is what causes our spiritual growth. And of course, they're also going to tell you that it doesn't have to be that way. You can grow spiritually without suffering. That is true. So that's when the conversation turns into, well, all suffering is created by resistance to what is. All suffering. And then you could flip that coin and go, well, yeah, well, what if what is going on is a war? Well, touche, right? So you have to kind of look at all the different angles. But what we can do is eliminate suffering, needless suffering from our lives.
Yeah.
There's a book, actually, I have all my students read by Mark Manson, and it's called The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F.
I like
that. And it's a hilarious book. Yeah, it's very colorfully written and very spiritual, and it speaks to this very same teaching of acceptance mm-hmm. of what is. And even, interestingly, what I've learned about manifesting is even when you have something like a war, spiritual acceptance, not approval. I don't mean approval when I say acceptance, but spiritual acceptance of what is. Even a thing like a war, that energy is what it takes to dissolve the conflict. And again, acceptance is not I like it, it's not I dislike it. It's neither of those. It's confirmation of the isness of what is. This is why Jesus was able to say to his torturers, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So personal change, it comes from the same place. It's the realization that you are not that which resists events in your life, whether it's a war or losing a contact lens, you know, or getting a letter from the IRS or whatever, you know, your car breaking down. Resistance to what is what causes suffering. Doesn't mean you have to like it, but it's the ego's involvement in the situation. And again, you know, these are the ancient cherished teachings of spiritualism, of non-duality, this remembrance that you are deeper than the resistor. You are not that which resists. You are not the seeker. You are not the questioner. You know, some people, they seek spiritualism. Well, you already are that. You just have to remember that you are not that which seeks. And it's like a magic trick. It just transforms your life. And you go on to reprogram many of the personal beliefs that you had and radically change everything in your situation. And again, you know, we are living in a participatory universe. There is a mechanism, a cosmic mechanism in place, which is coordinating the events in your life based on what you are being energetically. It is true. I just watched an interview with a world-renowned mathematician named Greg Shayton, and he's also, you know, like a fellow on many different advisory boards, scientific inquiry boards, physics, right? Physics and advanced mathematics are two peas in a pod. So physics, he is no stranger to. And he just came right out and said it. Yeah, the universe is mind. And again, he's not one of these, he's not just some guy on Reddit talking or something like that. You know what I mean? He is a very distinguished scientist with lots of credentials, accolades, highly recognized, highly respected, multiple PhDs. He even has his very own number named after him, right? He's one of those guys. He's like the Albert Einstein of mathematics. And I got to watch him and Robert Lawrence Kuhn talk about the nature of reality. And he said, yeah, this universe we live in, the physical component of the universe manifests from a bath of information. And you think, what is that supposed to mean? That sounds esoteric. And he goes, yeah, it's mind. There, I said it. You know, he kind of like that, like, there, I said it, you know. So this is a very radical departure from what we're told in the mainstream about the nature of the universe. And here are some very serious scientific minds saying, yeah, we think the universe is mental. By the way, again, guess who also said that the universe is mind? Hermes Trismegistus, a spiritual master who also was the teacher of none other than Abraham, like the Abraham, right, of the Bible. Hermes Trismegistus. And, you know, you can stop on YouTube and read his book about Hermetic philosophy. One of the first things they talk about is, yeah, the universe is mental. Well, that was written like 6,000 or 7,000 years ago. Very interesting time to be alive, my friend. We are very powerful.
And this sounds like ancient knowledge that somehow we think is so novel all of a sudden, but it has been around for such a long time. And yeah, wow. Thank you for sharing that. That was a very interesting story that you shared. Now, I think a lot of listeners might be very curious at this point about what we've been talking about. So you work with a lot of students, and what do you offer? How can people work with you? And what do you do in your programs? And do you have any books? I know you have a large YouTube channel as well. And so how can people connect with you or work with you?
Sure. YouTube is the best place. New World All-Star. All-Star is one word, A-L-L-S-T-A-R. New World All-Star. YouTube. And then my website, newworldallstar.com. My Law of Attraction coaching program is world class. It is designed for anybody. It's lengthy. It's affordable. It's a video program. There's follow-up videos, exercises. I teach you specific types of meditations and daily practices to do to use your body as the video game controller, right? Your body literally is manifesting equipment, your body and your mind. So I teach you how to reprogram it so that you can reprogram what's outside. And it is, oh my God, it's so unbelievable how much easier life gets and how magical these experiences, they just show up in your world. It is awesome. So I've got that. Coaching calls, you can talk to me after you watch the video program on my website, newworldallstar.com, or just check out the free stuff on my YouTube channel. It's available. I've got playlists if you're interested, and I'd love to talk to you.
Yeah.
Hit me up.
Sounds great. And we will be linking to all of Kurt's offerings in the show notes as well.
I've got a free offering just for your guests too, before I forget. There's one more thing. Yes. If you want to contact me on Instagram, I've got a free video to show you the heart-brain coherence technique, which was identified by the HeartMath Institute. And this technique, you do it for about a week and you'll start to get all kinds of intuitive information. Like you'll start having telepathic experiences. So free video, just contact me on Instagram. And when you do, put the word heart, H-E-A-R-T, heart, in the chat box, and I'll send you a free video.
Amazing. Thank you so much for that. And we'll make sure that we link your Instagram handle in the show notes as well, so our listeners know how to get a hold of you there. And of course, we'll be linking to all the other offerings as well, the YouTube channel, the website, so that you know how you can get in touch with Kurt if you've had your curiosity piqued by this episode and what we've been talking about. And maybe that'll cause you to have that sink in for a little bit after you listen to it and then dive in and maybe learn some more about it. So yeah, well, this has been another incredible episode. And I really hope our listeners have enjoyed our journey into the art of manifestation as much as I have. This has been such a mind-blowing hour that we've spent together. Kurt, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your wisdom on all of that. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much. Take care, Kurt.
You as well.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen in. If you enjoy the Journey podcast, please support us by subscribing, sharing on social media, and leaving us a review. We appreciate you. And you can find more of The Journey on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and our website, thejourney.com. Sending you love and courage, and see you next time.